Danger Talk Season 1, Episode 13, recapping the win versus the Jets. And we got the one and only Aaron Andrews, who joins the show. This episode of Danger Talk is sponsored by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. Jeff Dye, what's up, man? You ready to do this thing?
I'm excited, man. Nothing boosts the confidence of an NFL team like playing the Jets. Am I right?
Man, just winning is a good thing. As long as we win, that's all that matters. And we got a huge win on the, you know, at home, you know, and we answered, man. We showed up and played a great game, and I thought everybody played really well. It was cool seeing Jamal Adams get that sack and to break the NFL record for DBs getting the most sacks in NFL history. That was cool, and you know, we made our plays when we needed to.
Yeah, you guys crushed. It was a fun game to watch because it was just, you know, the winless Jets, and then you guys cooking. It was fun. Did you guys give Jamal a hard time when he dropped the interception in the first quarter?
Yeah, everybody was making fun of him in the locker room just about how he had to lift up his knees and try to catch the ball. Jamal can catch though, man. He can make plays, know. You know. So that was fun. We had several, you know, drops, interceptions, and stuff like that. So hopefully we'll get those, you know, throughout these remaining few weeks here, and keep making plays. And so it was cool. Guys making touchdowns. It was cool seeing Freddie Swain get in the end zone. I told him early in the week he had one of his best weeks, you know, of practice, and just you could see his focus. And, you know, he's always been focused, but just, you know, the plays that he made, you know, obviously Tyler and all the things he does, DK, he's such a special player. Disley getting back in the end zone, David Moore, Chris Carson. It was a good day for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, Seahawks came to play. Offense came to play. You threw four touchdowns to four different receivers. Like, what was just working different on Sunday?
I think the line was doing a great job up front. I think we were on our stuff. Guys were really, really, you know, it's NFL. You know, sometimes you have tough weeks. Like the week before when we played the Giants, we didn't play our best football. We didn't have our best game plan, in my opinion. And we really adjusted this week and throughout practice and got things dialed up and dialed in. And when we had those plays, we made them. And I think that's just the simplicity of it. It's not overly complicated, but, you know, we made our plays and we answered. And I think you got to answer the call when the bell rings.
And we didn't send DK to your house to deliver you a gift this week, but still a big congratulations for you. The first quarterback in NFL history with a winning season in your first 9 years. I mean, that's huge, dude. What does it mean? What does it mean to you? I'm getting choked up. What does it mean to you?
Well, winning's everything. You know, that's why I play the game. You know, you go out there to win. You know, you don't go out there to be anything else other than to win. And I think at this position, playing quarterback, it's all about winning. It's everything you do, the mental side of it, the heart that you put into something, the time, all the years, everything you put into it. It's surrounded around this concept to me. Like, I'm judged off of winning. Do I win or lose? You know, how often do I win? Like, and every time I step on the field, like, my job is to win. My job is to get us fully, fully prepared to win at all costs, no matter what it is. And it's not about me. It's about us as a team. And how do we get that done? And so, you know, it's when I came in the NFL, I wanted to be one of the greatest winners of all time. I think, you know, I got to win multiple more Super Bowls and everything else. And so, you know, just got to stay on the course. Got to keep believing, keep staying the course, keep going, keep doing the process right. I think the process is everything, how you train, how you get ready, how you prepare. And winning is a habit. Winning is a habit.
Once, and someone that's seen you win over and over and prepare over and over and do exactly what you're trying to accomplish from the moment you were playing in college is our guest today.
You know, this one's interviewed me a few times. I've had some special occasions. You know, we've had some big moments with this guest. I mean, this is a good guest now. And she's, you know, she gets to always interview me. But today I had the gift to be able to interview her and have some fun with it. Jeff, you ready for this one?
We should interview her the way she interviews you. You know, you're in the middle of something, you're running off, you're trying to get into game mode, and then she pops over going, "Hey, I know you're doing something, but do you mind?" We should have found her when she was trying to get a coffee or something this morning and then just go, Aaron, you ready for an interview? That's what we should have done.
That's actually a good idea. And that's why I love it, because this is the first time I've ever had an athlete that I work with interview me. So my armpits are sweating and I love it.
Controversial. Controversial. Ron Pritz are sweating. Here, listen, so our guest today, as you guys may already know, is a sportscaster, television host, actress, just amazing in everything she does. You've seen her on shows like College Game Day, Dancing with the Stars. She's currently the sideline reporter for Thursday Night Football, which I get to play on Thursday Night Football every once in a while, and obviously Fox NFL Sunday. But today, I'm going to be speaking and asking the question. So, Aaron Andrews, welcome to Danger Talk. You excited, Aaron? Applause, you ready to roll? There you go. That's a good applause, Jeff.
So
what you been up to? First of all, where are you at right now? You look like you're in this awesome, like, bar or something, bar lounge or wherever you are. Where are you?
It's a Prohibition church or something. I don't know what the heck that is.
No, so it was the man cave when I moved into. My husband built this house that we live in. It was the bachelor pad that I ended up having to take over, and which I appreciated, but you could tell very much that a single man, and also the builder of this house was a male too. They needed a female touch. So we're going through that as we've been together for, I guess, like, God, a while, but married for 3 years. So this was his man cave, and that's great and all, but he doesn't really need an office. So I took it over. This is my side. There's our golden retriever behind me. And yes, that is a bar. And over on this side is all the hockey stuff. So it's the
woman. Do you know what single guys call their man cave? What? My house, my entire house.
Oh, this place, if the walls could talk, let me tell you, but we are staging this business around here.
Well, listen, I'm glad you got Jared completely convinced and changed around over here, where he's changing the furniture and everything for you, Aaron. You must have turned him around. But listen, Jared, first of all, I've always loved watching him play hockey. So I remember going to a couple of his games and stuff like that. So I got a lot of respect for him, but you know, this man cave's pretty legit over here. So you've just taken over the whole corner, huh?
Hold please. I mean, this wasn't in the man cave before I took over. These are the pom-poms from Florida.
Okay, Florida Gators. You see that?
Using the pom-poms this week, the Florida Gators at the end of that LSU game. What happened?
Brutal. We have to talk about that a little bit.
We don't care about that team, so it doesn't affect us as much as it affects you.
So what you been up to, Aaron? Obviously, you know, just tell all of our listeners, obviously, all the things you do. I would take me through a week of what Aaron Andrews, because I think my weeks are busy and I'm over here doing Danger Talk and football and everything else, but your weeks seem like all the hard work you have to do. So what you've been up to, obviously, in 2020 and just, you know, obviously the new changes with everything.
Yeah, well, the week is different, and I'll give you, I mean, you actually have babies that you have to deal with. You play the game. I like to think I'm, you know, part of your team and all these teams, but sadly I'm not. I don't have to go to practice. But no, just, you know, doing a Thursday game, doing Sundays, and then we fit in features in between that. And this year has been a little different in terms of doing the features, because normally I would fly to Seattle, sit down with Russ, but now it's, you get on the Zoom, you try to make it sexy and hot doing it this way. Yeah, it's different. It's hard. Traveling's different. It's crazy. I haven't seen you in person. I've seen you from afar, but a lot, you know. So my week kind of starts, if you want to think about it, I guess not even on a Sunday. It would be on a Monday, where we just got home from a Sunday game. We are getting our schedule for the whole week. We know that we have a Thursday. We know that we have a Sunday. We get the call times. You start reaching out to PR guys and saying, can I speak to Russ? Can I speak to DK? You know, what can you do for me? And then we just start getting on calls and you start reading. I live in this man cave pretty much all the time. And then you get on a plane, you go do the Thursday night game, and there's time to get back to LA. I'll do it, or I'll go straight to the Sunday game and stay out there. And then it starts all over again on Monday.
Yeah. And so what is, like, after the football season, what is life like for you in that transition period right after the Super Bowl and everything else? Like, you're on to the next thing, right? So what are you doing from there?
So usually what happens after the season ends is I get a good week of being sick, because I will, you know, my body just realizes I'm done. And then it's like, holy cow, here comes the flu. It always happens. I lose my voice for a week, which my husband doesn't mind. And I turn into a massive, like, congestion machine, and we're pumping Mucinex. Not an ad, but would love one. And then, yeah, what's going to happen this year is I have this clothing line that we started with the NFL, and now we've branched out to the NCAA and also with the NBA as well. So going to try to learn from you and figure out how to juggle all these things with these businesses and so forth. And got a couple of other things in the hopper, may not be working with a certain production company on an unscripted project that has already been talked to with a network, and that will be, or scripted project that'll be hopefully announced at some point. And yeah.
Cool. What's it called?
I don't know. It's not called Dangerous. I'll tell you that. No, we don't even have a name yet.
Okay. Well, I'm excited about the one name that you do have that's really, really growing business is Wear, obviously.
Thank you.
Talk to me about this, because I, you know, Sierra and I, we got to see a lot of your cool stuff, and obviously you've partnered up with Fanatics, which is one of the biggest, fastest growing companies in America, around the world, for everything sports. And it's just a brilliant mind by you. But first of all, just creating amazing stuff for women and girls all around the country, around the world. But how did this all come about? Because, you know, I love the business mindset of you. I've always noticed how focused you are on everything. Obviously, you're mission driven. You have all these great plans and everything else. But to also catapult your career and everything that you've done into also creating real, real business for yourself and for others and creating real opportunity. Talk to me about Wear and how that kind of all came about. I love it.
Well, you're sweet, and thank you. I think the biggest thing is I'm a huge sports fan, obviously, and you know, going to a school in the SEC, and that's a whole religion, and then obviously being raised on the NFL and then having a chance to work in the NFL. I love sports. I'm a geek for it. And, you know, one of my first jobs at a college was working for College Game Day, being around all those fans, all the women, and just realizing that there was a pretty big white space in terms of, I'm a tomboy. I kind of dress like a tomboy, but I still want to be able to wear what, you know, the teams that I love. And one was my husband's team, and just kind of thought, all right, how can we make this fun, fashionable, and not what's offered out there? And I'd been trying to do it for about 5 or 6 years. I had been told, yeah, there's a white space, but are you going to be, and I'm dying to ask you this. I'm asked all the time, and I'm sure you are too. How much are you really going to be involved? Or do you just want to say you have it?
Yeah.
And what people don't understand about me is if I'm obsessed and it's an organic fit for me, I am just on their rear ends with text messages, with emails. Hey, I want to do this. Any word? Is anyone interested? And that's kind of how I was with the NFL. I got a lot of doors slammed in my face and people just saying, it sounds like a good idea, but I don't know if it's going to work out. And then finally, Michael Rubin with Fanatics was like, you know what? You kind of remind me of myself. You're a little bit of a pain in the ass. You seem driven. And
rear end.
Yeah, rear end. Sorry. And we'll see if you said controversial, Jeff. I'm trying to.
I'm sorry. My fault.
So yeah, he said, let's try to, you know, see if this could work. And last year was our first. We did a soft launch. It actually did very, very well. We kicked rear end, which was exciting. And then we were able to launch into some other leagues. And we may or may not have a deal coming with another league that's close to my heart and this household coming soon. And I'm just kind of learning on the fly. You know, I look up a lot to guys like you, to Michael Strahan, to the Tom Brady's of the world, and how you found your niche and how you can make it yours and still juggle this crazy life. I always thought by the age of 40, I'm 42, I would be retired because I did it all. And now I just feel like it's crazy. You know, I look at you and what you're doing and I'm like, I feel the same way. I kind of want to be the female version of you, you know, like, how do I get my hands in this? How do I do this? It's really addicting.
Well, what I've noticed is your drive is unbelievable. I mean, I've been fortunate to be around you in some production meetings and all that kind of stuff, pre-production meetings and all that. But I've also noticed just how intent and focused you are. And I know, you know, you're on the sideline, you're watching every single moment, every single instant. I'm over there singing in the sideline. I noticed you.
I watch you. You're watching every moment. And that was awesome.
It was pretty cool. But I think the fun part that for any woman, for anybody out there, for any young girl too as well, but just anybody really listening is that it really takes hard work, it takes vision, and it takes execution. I think that your ability to beautifully balance all of that and still do it with style and grace is really, really key. And I think that's been what's really cool about what I've gotten to know from you and be around you, but also the whole process, even what you're doing with Wear. And so congrats to you on that. And so make sure if you guys are listening here, you guys got to make sure that you go to Fanatics, make sure you get Erin Andrews lines. Obviously, she's so connected with the NFL and so many other great leagues as well coming along the way and other great leagues. So I make sure you guys go get Wear and rock it, because I know our household is. So
I'm not afraid to wear women's clothes, so I'll check it out.
Okay, all right.
Well, Jeff, that may be the next thing as well. I already was talking to our manufacturer today about doing a little unisex action. That's one thing I'll joke about taking over my husband's office, but he is very dialed in and into clothes and loves to look at it. And he's trying to say, well, why can't you do this for a guy? So yes, now there's more things on the plate.
All right, I like it.
It's just what keeps us going. You know what I mean, Jeff?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. You know what I'd like to ask you about? One of the greatest games in Seahawk history. I don't know what your pro team is. You can tell us.
Yeah, who is your Seahawks, pro team, first you can of tell all? Us. Tell the truth.
I was raised a Green Bay Packers fan, but
I wonder why you like going to Green Bay so much.
Okay. They don't even have cheerleaders.
They don't even have cheerleaders, and sometimes we need to – no, I'm just kidding. No, they don't have cheerleaders, and they don't have a bathroom on the sidelines, and that's very, very difficult, especially when
you're – gross. –
You have to go tinkle.
It's the worst.
What was I going to say? What was I saying? Oh, you're a Packers fan. I lose my train of thought quite a bit, but it's funny. You start becoming a huge fan of the guys and their like organizations or coaches, people with stories. I mean, I was thinking about Russell, you know, when I was getting ready for this today, and I remember the night of the draft, and because I had covered Russell all throughout college, I remember sitting in Washington, D.C. with my dad, and we were going to, I think, a correspondent. Oh, we were in town for something in D.C., and we were waiting and waiting, and finally his name was called, and my dad kept saying all throughout the night, I'm so happy for Russell Wilson. Well, then Russell Wilson tore my dad's heart out of his chest after that emotional, win, obviously, in Seattle. And I remember my dad texting me going, I feel like I'm going to puke, but I'm so happy for Russell.
Well,
you cheer for the guys and the stories and so forth. So yeah, I'm a fan of all the people that I have relationships with, and they're good for me. Jeff, what's your question?
The question was, take us back to one of my favorite Seahawks games ever. A lot of Seahawks fans are obsessed with this game. The 2013 NFC Championship game against the San Francisco 49ers. Boo, the trashiest team in the world. So I want to know what Russ remembers from the game and what you remember from the game. There was a lot. I'll ask you about the little Richard Sherman moment that I wasn't too happy about. But I want to know about the game. What do you remember about the game?
All right, Russ, you want to take it?
Well, I remember winning. That's all that matters, you know, just the celebration of it all. But it was a crazy matchup. They were so good. I remember my rookie year. I remember my second year. And walking out of I had played some great teams in college. I mean, playing, at Wisconsin, playing at NC State, I played against some of the best college players and guys who still play in this league today. But I'll never forget the first time my rookie year, I had to strap on the pads and had to go against the 49ers. I was like, who the hell are these guys? Like, just you had Alden, you had Justin Smith, you had all these guys who were just great players. You had the linebackers and Willis and Bowman. You had such great DBs. I mean, but I'll never forget the second year we actually played them. And in my second year, we play them at home in the NFC Championship game, and just the matchups and the battle that was throughout the whole entire game. I think it may have been that game, but I think that for one of the first plays of the game, I got crushed by Alden right in the chest and knocked the ball out even. But obviously we went for it on fourth down and double count, and they went off sides, threw a touchdown to Jermaine Kearse. And then next thing you know, all I know is the ball was tipped up in the air by Sherm, and the rest was history. So that was a good night for sure.
I think before even we get to that game, sorry, Jeff, I'll take over now. Who's the broadcaster here? I did a playoff game of yours before that. Was it the season before? It was the RG3 game where
We played in Washington, actually.
My memory of that game was I just come to Fox and I got moved to the A team to do the playoffs. And I don't know how much you knew Joe and Troy. And I remember you walking in and I high and mighty. I was like, I covered him in college. He's amazing. He's such a good dude. Like, you guys will love him. And I have a picture of the post-game interview, and that was just so special because I obviously had known you before, and I was like, wow, how this puppy has come full circle. Now to get to your game.
First of all, I need this picture. Whatever picture you have, I got to see this picture.
Send it to me. I already know my coat I was wearing, too.
What? He ain't no puppy, Aaron, all right? We don't call him a puppy.
He's not. It was very special. But let's see. No, I mean, what I remember from that game is Richard Sherman. And there were so many parts to that, like, obviously were just, it's hilarious. I'm just ticked off. I never got a Snickers commercial out of it. I tried to sell it so badly to Mars and they weren't listening to me and whatever.
You hear that, Snickers? She needs a commercial here.
And even when he went to San Francisco, I tried to resell it where it was like, you know, he's angry, he's yelling at me, I give him a Snickers, and he's in a 49ers uniform. I'll make up commercials now too. Add it to my record.
Well, I know you've addressed it many times, but maybe people that haven't heard that you've addressed it, you know, this is our opportunity here on Danger Talk. But the I'm a fan of football and women, you know. So when
he's a huge Seahawks fan, just so you know.
The biggest. And so when he said that to you and he was kind of shouting and all jacked up from the game, just whatever. I think of you as like this boss, like you're not like the gals I know, you know? So I remember thinking like that wasn't a big deal. And then the way it got ran with, I just kept thinking like they're making her sound like she's some delicate flower. Like she's been in this business for a long time. She probably doesn't care. So what did you care? Were you offended? Were you like, hey, why did he yell at me? Or
no, honestly, I thought it was awesome. The only thing that I was many things I've said this before, one of the things that I was annoyed about was myself, shocker, in the ballroom. But I was, because I remember when it was happening that I thought to myself, holy cow, my next question better be a good one. And I'm still trying to follow up with what he's saying. But I had known that he was not a fan of Michael Crabtree. He had discussed that in a production meeting with myself and the announcers. So I wasn't shocked. But what I was worried about as that was happening is, holy crap, what am I asking for a second question? And I don't want people to think he's yelling at me, because he's not, because he's awesome. So then when he stopped and he said, don't you ever talk about me again, I was like, who's talking? Now, as I've discussed with other people, that wasn't a terrible question, but what I want to like blow my brains out about is my stupid look on my face when I did it. Who was talking about you? Like, why do you have to ask it that way? Just say, I should have done it over. And then what is not in my comfort zone to do, I think maybe at that time, but would be now, is right away, they pulled me off of him and I wanted to ask a follow-up question about actually what it was going to be like to then, you know, be matched up against the Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl playing in New York. And what does that moment mean to him? And they just said, go to Joe. 'Cause they panicked. And I should have been like, no, I got one more and this is what it is. So I'm mad at myself.
Well, I think, first of all, I think the moment was just so absolutely nuts. I mean, the stadium, I couldn't hear the people next to me. It was so crazy and so loud. I just remember Colin throwing the ball up, and I'm like, they just tried Sherm. And he goes back and tips it back up in the air, and Malcolm catches it. Just the electricity in the stadium. I think everybody was losing. I don't even think, I think everybody in that moment was just chaotic. I've been in some crazy, crazy games and crazy matchups and loud stadiums, but there's nothing like Seattle being in that stadium. Yeah. Obviously.
And I wasn't.
Go ahead.
I wasn't mad about it at all. I was like, no, Richard Sherman's my guy. I love him. Aaron Andrews doesn't care. But then the second that Richard Sherman went to San Francisco, I was like, man, that guy's the worst. And he yelled at Aaron Andrews. I don't need this. You know?
No, but what's interesting is I was just thinking to myself, my gosh, I didn't interview Russell after that game, but in an NFC championship situation, I'm not allowed, because we knew that Russell was going to go up on the trophy stand, probably with Terry Bradshaw. So they were like, Russell's off limits, get somebody else. And I was just thinking, why didn't I talk to you? But that's why.
Well, one of my favorite moments about that game too was, you know, being up there on stage with Terry Bradshaw. I remember Paul Allen was standing next to me.
Aww.
And I remember, you know, them playing Frank Sinatra and everything. I was talking to Terry, and I started asking him. I was so zoned in the moment. I said, Terry, how do we get this done? How do we win the whole thing? And he started giving me this advice. I'm not going to tell everybody the advice, because I'm still in the midst of trying to win another Super Bowl right now. So I'm not going to give you all the secrets right now. Okay, Aaron, this will be maybe your next interview for me. But I'll never forget just that moment, that stillness. As everything was going so chaotic, I felt so still in that moment. And I think life flashes in front of you, where everything you've worked for, it's right here. It's right now. And so as an athlete, as a player, as somebody who ever wants to be great at anything, I think there's these moments in time that you fully capture and you fully become still. And that was one of them. I remember Terry and Jeff, you know Terry really well too, actually. But I think that moment of stillness was really pure for me. And then next thing I know, I'm singing Frank Sinatra out loud. Aww. And Paul Allen kind of raps, you know, kind of grabs my arm and is like, you like Frankie, Frank? You like Frank? I said, yeah, my dad used to sing to him all the time. Crazy story. The next morning I get up, I get, I get, um, I, The doorbell rings, and all of a sudden I have this massive box of Frank Sinatra stuff. And it just, those moments like that are just really special, you know, and I think back to that. So that game really meant a lot to me, obviously my career and everything else, but I think also too, just how everything comes to fruition, everything you've ever worked for. And so that was a special night, and I'm glad Richard Sherman tipped that ball up, you know, that's for sure.
Wow.
You know, so that was pretty cool.
Was that ball catchable, by the way? Like, can we just go back and talk about it? Because I always think about Richard Sherman's play and the interview. Would he have been able to get that? Was he?
You talking about Crabtree? Crabtree? Yeah. I mean, Crabtree's got great. I mean, you've seen him in college and all the things he's done in the NFL. I mean, he's got unbelievable, you know, catching skills, ball skills to catch the football. So for Sherm to be able to do that and turn the way he did and knock it backwards and knock it up. And, you know, ironically, I think Sherm did that actually several weeks before in New York. We had, we were already beaten, you know, the Giants pretty good, but they threw a ball down the right sideline, very similar to that, I believe Eli did, and Sherm tipped it back, and I think Earl had caught it, I believe, but it was looked very similar. That was several weeks before, and ironically, I had told Coach Carroll, you know, early that week, I said, you know, the crazy thing is we get to play in New York, and hopefully we get to come back to New York again, and sure enough, we were able to go back to New York again. So those moments are like that are really special. So,
and it wasn't even cold in that Super Bowl. They had the heaters on the bench, and I was sweating in my puffer coat. And I was like, I thought this was going to be like a whole snow situation.
I was at that game, and they gave all the fans like this big like winter pack, like a whole thing that had all this extra stuff because they're like, people are going to be freezing. Yeah. And so like, people were taking gear off like when they came into the stadium. A lot of people took their Broncos jerseys off and set them on fire after that game also.
After the first play that went over his head, right? It was like, oh boy. Didn't Lord get dumped on really bad the next day? I think the snow came the next day.
It was supposed to rain. It was supposed to snow that morning, that day of the game.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it kicked past to the next day.
Crazy.
And I remember being up still. It was probably 4:30 in the morning. I was still up from the night before. We just up the whole night. And There was snow just coming down right around 3:30, 4:30 at night.
Yeah. What were you up doing, Russ?
You know, controversial.
Celebrating
the whole, it was just snowing like crazy. It was amazing night. And I actually had to do an interview at 5:30, you know, for, I don't know, one of those morning shows. And I just remember just how bad it was. And it was, we were barely able to get out of there. Flying out the next morning to go back to Seattle. So it was definitely a cool day. And we got lucky that night in the sense that the moon was right there, right in the middle. There's no snow. It was about 52 degrees. I think it was actually colder in Seattle than it was even in New York. So it was a special day for us. But Jeff, I'm going to kick you off now. It's me and Aaron Andrews one-on-one. Aaron, we go one-on-one here.
I had a feeling
here.
This would happen.
Sorry, bud. It's just me and Aaron.
Baby boy.
Me and Aaron and Jared's man cave over here. We're having fun. So listen, you know, Aaron, obviously you grew up, you know, in Maine, Lewiston, Maine. Is that right?
Right. Yeah.
So how did you become a Packers fan from Lewiston?
So my dad obviously is the one that got me into loving sports, and I'm a diehard Celtics, diehard Red Sox fan, but of course we'll cheer for other teams because guys have been great to me over the years. But he claims that the Patriots were so bad growing up for him that they were always blacked out in the area and the Packers were always on and Bart Starr was always on. Yep. And so my dad just became a diehard. And then, you know, when I was like, Dad, who do we cheer for? Who do you love? Well, this is Brett Favre and these are the crazy throws he makes. And, you know, sometimes they're interceptions, but we just love, you know, how he plays. And then I remember just so many memories with my dad, even watching Monday Night Football. I think it was the day after Brett's dad passed. And my dad was like, watch how this sideline reporter gives this, you know, report. And I remember laying there with my dad and watching him and him pulling his wife from the stand. So that's how I became a Packers fan. You'll love and appreciate this. This is on my desk. This is the first time I got to meet Bart Starr.
That's amazing.
Yeah, one of the pictures I sent to my dad, it was really real. I was like, Dad, I'm meeting Bart Starr in Lambeau. How dope is this?
What a blessing. So your dad was actually a broadcast journalist, right?
Yep. Yeah, he retired, actually.
Crazy, because he won like 6 Emmys or something crazy.
He did. He's got me beat. Yep. He's so good too at what he does. And it's crazy, Russell. The game, obviously, the comeback against the Packers, the one that you ripped my dad's heart out. I was texting him because if you lost that game, I would have to interview Coach Carroll in the locker room as losing, you know, interview. And I kept saying, Dad, here are my questions. Here are my questions. What do you think? And I just remember it was like two or whenever, you know better, 3 minutes left. My dad goes, this isn't over. And I'm like, Dad, it is. Like, I, come on, just look at these questions and tell. And he's like, oh no. So thankfully it wasn't over for you guys. Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It definitely wasn't over. So you go from Lewiston, Maine. You end up going, did you play a bunch of sports when you were growing up or no?
Nothing. I was a dancer, which was awkward for everyone because I hit a massive growth spurt in about third, fourth grade. And these legs went probably to about 5'4", 5'3". And I was the girl, that was hunched over, still am. That's one of my biggest problems with my, I don't stand up straight just because of my little insecurities with being so tall. So I was put in the back of every dance routine in the middle. Nicknamed Manute Bowl all throughout
Ball, high school, really?
Because I was so tall and taller than all the boys and super skinny, wore elastic jeans. There's a fun fact for you because they would all fall off me. So no sports, just dance.
So is Ware going to make elastic jeans for
you know what? I mean, we're thinking about it. Maybe, yeah, you know, collection. For 2022.
An EA Ware collection of elastic jeans. I think it sounds good. So take me from Maine, Lewiston, Maine. You get to... Okay. You end up going from the freezing freaking cold down to the probably one of the prettiest, best, coolest, you know, places you could go, the University of Florida. How'd you get to University of Florida? What made you go to become a Gator?
As probably something my dad would never want me to repeat, I said to my dad, I want to go to a school where they have a really good football team. And he just said, or maybe the academics and worrying about what college you want to go to. And I was like, no, Dad, my thought process is this. If I'm going to be on TV doing sports broadcasting and they have a good football team, they'll all be there to cover the football team.
Good point.
And also I wanted to go to football games on Saturday. And I'm not cheering for a school that loses. Well, apparently. This past weekend, I do. But it was a
tough one for the Gators. You know, Brian Schottenheimer, my office coordinator, he's a huge Gator guy. So I rub it in,
Really?
Yeah, he played there. He played. He's number 16.
I was a Gator, a big Gator fan. Wow, I need to go back and read the.
He is a Gator. So you end up going there. Did you dance there at Florida, or did you do both, or what'd you do? Okay, so you. So you danced and you did broadcasting. So how'd that work? How'd that work out?
It was great. So I did the sports station. I did the 6 o'clock news. We had this sports station.
AM or PM?
PM. Gotcha. I also did the radio show, during the afternoon. And then I would get ready to go to Gator Dazzlers practice. Dazzlers. Dazzlers. And I would know the opposing. So whenever we played, whoever it was in the SEC, and then, we made it obviously to the championship game my senior year, I would know the opposing team and I would heckle them because I loved sports so much. So I knew who was playing. I knew the star players. I would tell the dance team like, yeah, so-and-so is good. And like, this is what they say. And he's not good at this. I also wrestle.
You're a trash talker?
Trash talk, like Mo Pete in the championship game where they absolutely killed Florida, Michigan State. I'm sitting there and I'm like talking trash and Mo Pete's like, yo girl, look at the scoreboard. It was so great. What would I do? Oh, I would think I was an extension of the Gator basketball team. I would see Billy Donovan give the plays to the team and I'd be like, 2-5, I would try to give it to our team. I mean, who do I think I am? That's so lame.
Look at you trying to call the play. So in terms of that whole process, what did you love about being a Florida Gator and what was the experience? I mean, like, one of the coolest things I think in college football and just sports in general, the coolest game is Florida versus Georgia. I think that's like one of the best games in football. So can you take me back to some crazy moments there and some of the relationships or anything like that in terms of those kind of games?
Yeah, I mean, football games were exactly how I wanted them to be or how I envisioned. I also can't imagine being a parent of a kid that goes away to college because when I think of the shenanigans that when we would drive to Jacksonville for the Florida-Georgia game, I mean, shenanigans. And it's as advertised, but I feel like you need those moments to kind of grow up and appreciate things. But it's fun. I mean, you hear from the Georgia fans as you're walking around at night in your super cool black pants from Wet Seal and your hot, turquoise top that you think is so rad. Gators wear jean shorts. Like, ooh, burn. Thanks, George. But no, it was so much fun. And I was just, I was a fan, but I was so invested because I loved sports so much. Like, I knew everything about what this matchup meant. I knew, you know, okay, we need Jesse Palmer to have a good game, sexy Rexy Grossman to have a good, you know, just our defense, Javon Kurse, like, we're freaks. So yeah, I mean, it was more to me than anything because I loved being a Gator, but I also loved the sports aspect of it so much.
So you're like the girl in Remember the Titans. The girl just knew everything about everybody, yeah. Every player. So I love that. So when did you know? Like, when did you know you were ready for the big stage? When did you know that you were going to be great at what you've been doing for all these years?
Well, I hoped I would be great. I just knew I was a big enough fan. And I was talking about this in high school. I mean, people were writing in my yearbook, see you on ESPN. And so it was kind of the goal really early. I mean, my dad tells a story that when I was, young and I was watching NBA with him, because I was obsessed with the NBA. That's where I first got my love. Larry Bird was my jam. Kevin McHale was my first crush. Casey Jones, the head coach of the Celtics, like, these were my boys. Like, yeah. I felt like they were my everything. And then I learned about Magic Johnson and his relationship with Larry. And then, you know, Charles Barkley became like just everything to me. I was a massive Phoenix Suns player. And the night they lost to the Bulls, I just remember sobbing. So like, these were like my friends. I thought they were all my friends. So I knew I wanted to do this. And I remember being on the couch with my dad. And I just said, Daddy, I want to do this when I grow up. I was watching like Hannah Storm or somebody like that. And my dad said, Aaron, everybody wants to do this, you know, like this is the dream job. And I just kind of talked about it forever. And I didn't really know of anything else I wanted to do. And it would just seem weird to me if I hadn't have tried it.
Well, so for you, like, was there somebody that was super, besides your dad, was there somebody that was super inspirational? You mentioned Hannah Storm, for example. Were there other people that were super inspirational for you that you wanted to be like or wanted to grow up like? And, you know, because for me, I always wanted to be like Derek Jeter. Like, I love Derek Jeter. I love watching Jeets. Yeah. I love watching him play. I loved watching Michael Jordan play and how clutch he was. You always knew he was going to get the ball in the game. And you really believed every time he got the ball at the end of the game, he was going to make the game-winning shot. And even if he didn't, you knew the next time he was going to make it. And so me, like, those were people that I always looked up to. Was there somebody in your field in particular that you really looked up to and just, even not in your own field, but just in general in the world that you really respected?
Yeah. I mean, I would say, I always took notice of Hannah because she was doing NBA on NBC at the time. And I really love the NBA, but also Melissa Stark was somebody that really, for me, was, I did her haircut. I colored my hair super blonde to be like her. I loved how she was pretty, but I also loved that I thought that the guys really respected her. And my dad always pointed out what a great job she did. She made it fun, and I didn't realize how young she was at the time. She fit right in on Monday Night Football. And, there's been times I've been in a room with Belichick because I've seen her do sit downs with Bill Belichick. And I've said to Coach Belichick, what is it about her that you love so much? Because I want to be that way. And I said that to Coach Belichick a couple years ago, and I've texted Melissa. Funny story. The first time I ever met her, it was at the Sports Emmys. I just joined Fox and she was there, and I walked over to her. I started sweating profusely. I had already worked at ESPN for so long. And I just said, my name is Erin Andrews. And I just want to tell you, you're my Michael Jordan
of sports
broadcasting. And I just started talking really like crazy and weird. And she was like, really nice to meet you. And I was like, God, I just blew it with Melissa Stark. but we've become great friends since then. And I'm thankful for her and her guidance, but she was it for me.
Yeah. That's so good. Melissa's one of the best. And I also think about Cheryl Miller. Cheryl Miller was somebody that was one of my favorites when I watched the NBA, and she supposedly, could beat Reggie in a game. So I love, my dad used to always talk about Cheryl and just like, and she's great at what she does. Melissa, those are some of the best. Hannah, obviously you and my lifetime, and just really watching you do what you do. But to me, what I'm really interested in, it's like, I think about my sister, right? She goes to Stanford. She plays basketball there. They're number one team in the country. They're doing great. I think that the reality is, what does it mean to you to be a woman in sports? What does that mean? Woman in sports. What does that mean? And what does that legacy look like? What's the deep meaning behind the idea of a woman in sports to me?
You know, It's funny because I think when people ask me, and I don't know if this is where you're going with this, a lot of people ask, you know, or do you feel like you're treated different? Do you feel like you're a role model? A lot of dads will ask me, how did your dad do this? Because I want my daughter to be involved.
Yeah.
I think the one thing, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for where I am. I know I have busted my rear end, but I also know I didn't want anything else. But the one thing for me, I'm so grateful for in terms of getting me where I am, and to, there's not many of these positions, especially on a prime time, you know, football game. And I'm grateful for that, is people like you, people like a Joe and Troy, people like, you know, a Tom and an Aaron, and all these guys that have just been so open and accommodating and trusting with me, because it is interesting. And you know, I've gone through a lot of stuff in my career. All I ever wanted was the athletes, the coaches, and the organizations to respect me. And there can be a ton of people that talk a certain way about you on Twitter, or even local writers that don't get you. And that when it all comes down to it, when you get that one text from a guy that you've covered, or, you know, a call or voicemail, and it's like, way to go, EA. Good. That's all I wanted, you know? And so I feel like to get the respect from you guys, it validates everything that I've worked for, and it validates being a respected female in this industry. So it is a very heavy thing to have on, you know, your shoulders, that you are somebody that has made it in this industry. You are somebody that little girls look up to. But I think what you guys don't understand, the, you know, people like you and all the ones that have really helped me, is you really put me in this position. You've been so wonderful and just trusting of me, and that's helped me so much.
Well, I think, first of all, you have all the respect in the world because you've earned it. You've earned everything. Well, you're super knowledgeable. I think your knowledge of the game, your knowledge of situations, your knowledge of people and what guys are going through, guys and girls are going through. I think it's really powerful to know exactly what you're talking about, but also to know and have this compassionate side to you too, as well. And mm-hmm. this understanding and how you ask your questions and the grace that you ask them with, I think is a really beautiful balance of how to do it at the highest level. And I think also too, what's really interesting is for me coming in and getting to know you, but also for me being in the league for, this is my ninth year now. So
this, you know, is crazy.
Which is wild. You know, the craziest thing is, this is a true story, and I haven't told you about this yet, but I had a guy from the other team the other day. I'm not gonna say his name, but you know, he played for one of the other teams, and he comes up to me and, play for the Jets. He comes up to me and he's linebacker. He goes, I'm not going to say his name.
What position? But,
play linebacker. But that's all I'll give you. Okay. But he comes up to me. He goes, after the game, he's like, bro. I'm like, what's up? He goes, well, you're the greatest fucking athlete I know. And I'm like, huh? And he was like, which was fascinating to me, because he was like, man, you're my favorite athlete, like, ever, all time. Like for real. And he just hit me probably like right in the ribs, probably place before. But he, you know, what was really cool was just amazing how life and everything you work for, how it inspires somebody else. But what was really interesting was, is that he had said to me, you know, because, you know, I was growing up, I was playing, you know, quarterback, I was playing linebacker and everything else. And everybody told me I was too small, couldn't do this, couldn't do that. Man, you fucking inspired me, man. Like, you the one, like, you the guy. And so what was interesting to me when he said that was, I started thinking about back to all the people that inspired me and just where I am today. And just, I just turned 32, but I feel like I'm just beginning. I feel like it's just the process. Kind of similar to what you said, you know, it's like, you've had this amazing, luscious career of all the amazing things you've done, but it feels like you have where, you know, that's just starting and just blowing up like crazy. You have all these amazing things that you're doing too as well. And as all that's transitioning, all that's happening, it's like, man, I feel like I'm just beginning. You and your love life, married, and all this other stuff that you got going on, just life in general, it's amazing how everything comes together. And what I was curious about is, as this transition of sports has changed, and I think about the 9 years that I've been in the NFL, you know, the transition of women in sports, and just even from your role and, you know, what you do, how has that changed from the time that you started? Which, what year was your first time you ever did an NFL game? Do you remember?
An NFL game?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have to look back on my phone. No, I think.
But roughly, like, was it 10 years ago, 15 years ago? Eighth year. Okay. Now, you've been doing it longer. Eight. Because when I came in the league, you were doing it, right?
Yes, I was.
Yeah. So it's about your ninth or 10th. So it's been because you were doing college when I was there, right? Yeah. And then, so it's about 9 or 10 years. So we're about yeah. even here. We've been playing ball for a while.
My first Super Bowl ever was with you, yep. which is crazy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and I had done. Wait, how long have you played? 9 years.
This is my 9th year. So you've been.
Ninth year.
I think this is your 9th. I think we're. Year. I think yeah. we're playing for par here. So the reality is that, you know, I think back to the first time I ever met you was, what game was it?
First game at NC State, and you were taken off in an ambulance.
Well, first of all, we were playing South Carolina. It was the first Thursday night game. My dad was extremely sick. He had just, you know, his leg was amputated. He was all this stuff was going on. And, he didn't have much hours left to live. They told me he only had 12 to 18 hours left to live.
Are you serious that night?
Yeah, that was the same kind of week. And it was a crazy week. But what was crazy was that, you know, I'm playing there. It was my first college football game. I'm playing in South Carolina. It was a good game. It was back and forth. And then I got knee to the head. I haven't missed a game since, knock on any wood. But, you know, I haven't missed
Are
a game
you
since.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So you know, the good thing is I got to start that game. So I played for half the game or, three quarters or whatever. I got knocked out.
And, who hit you?
I still don't remember to this day.
Okay. Who came in backup role for you?
I think Daniel Evans did.
Oh,
I believe.
Wow. Okay.
I don't remember. I was knocked out.
Yeah, I know.
but I do remember waking up and I had slobber all over my face. My mom was right in my face. Like, we were in this hospital. I'm like, where am I? You know? And, but yeah, that was the last game, the last moment I kind of missed. But what was crazy is to think about from my freshman year, you've known me since my freshman year in college, to all the way to my years at Wisconsin, NC State, obviously, but Wisconsin. And then obviously the NFL draft, like you talked about your dad, you know, rooting for me and everything else. But, you know, I think about that landscape changing.
When we went to Wisconsin, I remember standing on the field with you. I'll never forget it. We did your Rose Bowl too, because I took a picture with your lineman. At the Rose Bowl, but you talking to me and Herbie before your first Wisconsin game and you telling
Nebraska.
You looked at note cards to learn the offense. I'll never forget it.
It's true. I had to draw interesting fact here for everybody. I left baseball. It was June 27th. Mm-hmm. I called the Colorado Rockies, woke up that morning and said, you know what? I'm going to be uncommon. I'm going to be different. I'm going to go back and play. You know, college football. And so I'm in Asheville, North Carolina, middle of nowhere, you know, up in the mountains, beautiful, beautiful area. But I get in the car, I let my team know, go play that game. That was my last game. Hop in the car, drive to Raleigh, North Carolina, pack all my stuff up, you know, June 28th, get in the car, June 29th, get in the U-Haul, drive 18 hours or whatever, all the way up to Madison, Wisconsin, get there the morning of July 1st. I pull up on Breeze Street, actually, ironically, Camp Randall's backside of Camp Randall's Breeze Street, which I'm like, okay, I'm in the perfect spot. It's my favorite quarterback.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm on Breeze Street. Pull in. Next thing I know, hop out of the U-Haul, go get my outfit on. I start throwing with Nick Toon that day on the field. So what I had to do was I got all these note cards. This is for any young quarterback, anybody who wants to be successful or something, even for like a person like Aaron, she always take notes. I always say KTN, keep taking notes. So the thing was is that I kept taking notes. What I did was I had these note cards and I would put them together and I would draw all the plays on the front side of pictures. And I had this big old ring and, you know, the old school high school thing you do in middle school, or whatever. And I'd flip the cards and just, I'd always visualize what the plays were. And that's how I learned the offense so fast. And I gave myself a challenge to learn them in 3 weeks. And I think that was a cool process for me. But I think also too, when I think about you and the process of transition of you know, women in sports and everything else in the past 9 years, what does it look like 9 years ago with women in sports? And even now, has that grown drastically? Would you say about the same? What would you say?
Oh yeah. I mean, and you know this better than anyone. I mean, now we're seeing Sarah, an official, obviously working NFL games, officiating NFL games. We have coaches on the sidelines. I mean, I think it's nothing to see a sideline reporter. You know, we have a woman calling a game, doing play-by-play for the NFL as well. So yeah, I mean, I think slowly but surely we are making progress, and I think it's, you know, phenomenal, and I'm proud of that. And I know that more steps need to be taken. It's so funny because people will text me or tweet me all the time and just say, you know, when are you going to get up in the booth? When are you going to do that? And I don't want to go anywhere. Are you kidding me? I mean, they're going to have to drag my rear end off that sideline where, not this year, unfortunately, because we're in the first row, but where we are on the field,
no place
I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I want to know what Russell Wilson's going to come say to his O-line, or what he's going to come say to, you know, a Pete Carroll, or I can't repeat it, but damn, I love standing there and hearing it. I want to be standing right behind you when the other team is marching down the field. And I want to watch you singing, because I want to ask you when you pull off the win, what you were singing. And my favorite part of that whole moment, you looking at me and being like, yeah, like I love that stuff. It jacks me up so much. So I'm happy for the progress women have made, but where I am, I'm so thankful, and I don't want to be anywhere else. Even if there aren't any bathrooms on the sidelines and you have to run up to the press box, that's a bummer.
Yeah, well, I think first of all, you know, I was singing Great Is Your Faithfulness that night. And it was just, it was a cool thing. You know, it's really strange being in the stadium and nobody being there. Like, it's so much different.
People don't know what we're talking about right now, by the way.
Yeah, you know, well, basically, we won a big game. What game was that? It was recently, but it was a home game. I forget. Ooh. We played so many games. But
Arizona.
It was Arizona. Good game, actually. Yeah. It came down to the wire. But I was singing on the sideline, and I've always told Erin, I always sing a song, but I was singing and now there's nobody in the stands at all. So she can even hear me. And, you know, so yeah, that was a key moment where we stopped him, and I was just celebrating. He saw me there celebrating. That was cool. But I do think what's crazy is go back to the Rose Bowl, go back to the, you know, NFC championship games and Super Bowls and all that. You said it exactly right. There is no place better than being right there on the sideline. And people don't understand how fast the game moves and the type of athletes and just the speed and just how fast your mind has to function on the field. But I also think about Sarah Fuller. We talk about women in sports. I think about Sarah Fuller, her becoming the new field goal kicker, you know, for Vanderbilt. Like, that's amazing to me, just seeing that process. And, you know, do you think that more women will start playing? Because I'm really big into flag football. I've become the chairman of the NFL flag and be a part of that whole process has been really, really cool. You know, and obviously with NFL flag, you know, you think about sports, and as I've traveled around the country, around the world, you know, it's interesting because when I go to other countries, and I've gone to China, I've gone to Brazil, I've gone to Europe, and, you know, especially, you know, in countries like, you know, China and Brazil, it was interesting because a lot of places would say that a lot of young kids would always tell me that, you know, guys and girls are like, well, you know, we don't have the means or this or that. And they see that as football, an American football, to be an expensive sport. It's one of those things where shoulder pads, helmets, you know, knee pads, all the cleats, all the things you have to have. But versus soccer, for example, worldwide soccer, when you think about football in those countries, it's like all you need is a ball and a goal. That's it. It doesn't matter what you have. And so one of the things that I've been super fascinated by is the growth of NFL flag and women in sports. And I remember going to Brazil. I remember throwing this post route. Sierra's right there with me. And I, you know, she asked me what route I wanted her to run. And I started drawing. She says, just tell me the name. You know, this young, she's probably 14-year-old Brazil girl. Cute. And I said, run a post. She says, got you. And she took off so fast and caught this post route. But what I think is fascinating is I see these amazing young women being so inspirational in NFL flag and the leagues that we've been creating around the country and around the world is that, you know, girls really want to be actively involved in sport. And I think that the reality is that there's some great, I think about my sister when I was at NC State, she'd be a little young girl. She's like 6, 7, 8 years old. And she chucked that football further than most guys could throw it. And I think the inspiration of seeing young women in sports, does that inspire you? How does that inspire you when you see a person like Sarah Fuller, you know, become the first woman to really, you know, ever really score a point in Division I A football and all that? How does that inspire you?
Well, it inspires me because I think you have to have courage to do what I do for a living, but I think you have to have some cojones to do that, what she's doing. Yeah. I go back to, you know, all the naysayers that, do you really like sports, or are you just a girl that likes to wear hair extensions and be on the sidelines with cute boys? But then I think of
you wear
her
hair extensions? Actually, I'm just kidding.
Who doesn't, by the way? Yours look great. No, I'm kidding. You think this thing's real? You're crazy. So her actually having to throw on a uniform, can you imagine the naysayers in her ear? I mean, good for her. Just basically being like, watch me. Watch me. Sure. God, I mean, go ahead with yourself.
And I think I think Sarah's a national champion too in soccer, right? I think they were really good in soccer too as well. So it's just really cool to see, you know, women in sports. And I think back to my sister, I think back to Sienna, you know, and Sierra, she loves sports. This girl, Sierra, she, She's obsessed with sports. She's really? Always talking about it. Yeah. Yeah. So she's all in, you know.
I feel like to be married to an athlete, or at least to have some sort of relationship to an athlete, you have to. And I think, and I'm sure Sierra is the same. You know, I like to kind of say that Sierra and I are the same person. I wish I could dance like her. But you do, you have to be understanding of the schedule. You have to be understanding of the passion, the competitiveness, right? I mean, you guys aren't home at all when it's your season. And when you are, it's not like, yeah, you're home. And I'm sure, I know you're a great father and a great husband, but when you got a huge matchup like you do on the 27th and the A crews in town, to broadcast the Rams game, Rams Seahawks, you're there, but we know where your mind is. I mean, I'll remember during a Stanley Cup run, my husband had, they basically live in the hotel and, you know, they play every other day. And I was like, can't we just have dinner one night? Like, are you serious? Why are you going to the hotel? Can't we go to dinner? And I remember him looking at me and he said, do you know how much pressure I'm under? And he goes, you should. And I was like, you're right. So, I mean, I just feel like if you, obviously you're married to somebody like you or somebody that loves their job as much as, you know, you guys do, it's like, you have to be a fan.
I think the cool part is that, you know, what I noticed with you and Jared is that you guys get to support one another.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the fun part, I think, of the journey. You know, even though it's very challenging, people don't understand how many hours that it takes to get prepared for an NFL football game. The mental side of it and just getting, people don't understand how many hours it gets to take physically for an NFL football game. People don't think about how many hours it takes physically to get prepared for an NHL Stanley Cup matchup. And just to get ready from one game to the other, just getting beat up the way those guys get beat up. Is absolutely fascinating, but people don't forget how many hours just to learn all the players and who they are and the matchups and the coverages and all the things that you got to know and all the flow of the game and all the circumstances that it all affects the game that you have to know and prepare for.
And then I've been responsibilities too. Like, I mean, no offense, NHL doesn't even have that. I don't have that. That's a whole other level with your life people don't get.
Yeah. Well, I've been in those production meetings, for example, and you know, one of the coolest things I got to do when I was a rookie, I used to go to, when I have a bye week or playoffs, you know, when I did the Super Bowl and I think it was with CBS, I can't remember or not, but you know, I was able to sit there with CBS. I got able to sit with Bill Cowher and several other guys and just go through that process and go through the production meetings and sit with other guys on NFL Network and just ESPN and just Fox. And I've immersed myself in that experience of learning what production is like and also being relaxed, but being knowledgeable of all the challenges and all the things and all the different ways that a team can manipulate a defense, or this is what happened this game before. This is those kind of matches. I love sports. I love, like, one of my favorite thing to do in the offseason is go watch games. And I think that's one of the coolest things that I could ever do. But if you're some young girl out there and listening to this and, you know, if somebody wants to be like you, you know, EA, like what would you tell them? How would you inspire them? And what would be that one thing that you would tell them to keep doing and keep striving for?
Yeah, I would probably say, well, two things. One is what my dad told me when I just, you know, I remember graduating the University of Florida and I was putting my tape out there trying to get a job. And I was kind of, you know, it was the summertime. I had already, you know, got my degree. And my dad just said, you know, why don't you start studying? And I said, well, for what? And he said, I don't know, whatever job you're going to get. And I was like, Dad, I don't know what sport I'm going to work. And he said, well, exactly. And he's like, and by the way, there's more out there than just Florida Gator football. Pick up a newspaper, read about some other teams, pick up some magazines, start reading, start immersing yourself in sports. And I think that's the one thing. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're working two games a week or one game a week, you just have to be really well researched. And that's something now with social media and you guys having your own social media, it's just being up to date. I mean, I've got, you know, an NFL Network on here right now in case there's any sort of breaking news. You just have to be well-versed because Leslie Visser had said this to me, you can get your job, being a female, you'll get the job, but you have to be a hard worker to keep your foot in the door. Mm. And you have to keep finding ways to reinvent yourself. And I think that's something I'll always have a chip on my shoulder because I didn't play. I didn't play anything. I was always a dancer and a fan, but I love, so I have to work twice as hard, you know, or four times as hard, five times. Troy Aikman can talk about anything. He doesn't have to study. He does study. He studies like crazy, but he can always go back to what he knew and how he played. I can never do that. The only thing I can go back to is my relationship with you, knowing what your tendencies are on the sidelines, and also studying my rear end off. So that's one thing I just think if you are interested in doing this for a living, and you, first of all, you have to have the passion. Second of all, you have to be well-researched. And third of all, Russ, you know this better than anyone, you have to have thick skin. You put yourself out there. People are always going to have an opinion. They always know better. You're going to screw up on national television, and you have to find a way to, which I think is incredible that all of you guys do for a living, get over it and move on. How the heck do you move on after a bad play? Because I screw up on air. My armpits sweat. My whole body shakes. I feel horrible. I get chest pains the next night. I don't know how, it's why you guys are paid like you are, how you freaking move on. It's incredible. Incredible.
Well, I think it's to be able to have amnesia, you know.
Yeah.
I think in anything, you got to have amnesia. You got to be able to forget the past and
move
on. Take me to the best game you've ever done. Best game. What's the best game you've ever done?
I would say that San Francisco game was right up there. That's a legendary one. That Green Bay one. Why does it always come back to you? It does though. That was pretty phenomenal. You know, the Super Bowl this past year that we just did was pretty amazing to watch Patrick Mahomes just come back and, you know, them win again. I felt bad for obviously the 49ers. I just feel like those are some of the ones. I'll never forget that Green Bay game with you. You know, I remember post game, you were just bawling your brains out. I can't even imagine what you were thinking. And they were coming to me live, which when people, you are told your interview is going live, like that's major. Like you're not throwing it back to the guys in the studio. You're going live. And I remember being like, Russ, and I'm in the pile and you're like, I can't. I'm like, I need you. I felt like Kate on the Titanic, right? Rose, like, Jack, I need you. Pulling you out. You're trying to like.
Oh, I was so emotional in that game. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
It was the craziest game I think I've ever played. I think ball bouncing everywhere. And then next thing you know, we ended up winning that game. That was nuts. That's probably one of the craziest games I've ever been a part of, for sure.
Crazy.
One of the most emotional games, for sure.
Dallas. I feel like I've had some big ones there where Rodgers has found like Jared Cook or Devontae. Some of those matchups were pretty big. But yeah, you were always kind of in the middle of the ones that were the big, big ones.
What's the one event, if you had one chance to do the biggest event, like what would that one event be?
Well, I've gotten to do a national championship. I've gotten to do a couple of Super Bowls, which I'm thankful for. I always wanted to do the Final Four. I thought that'd be really, really fun.
Final Four, Aaron Andrews?
I've never, CBS, so yeah, under a different contract. But I got to tell you, I mean, there's nothing like being at a Super Bowl. Your first Super Bowl, as we said, was my first one. And I remember it wasn't even the anthem. Was it Queen Latifah? Did she sing God Bless America? Somebody sang something before.
I feel like I'm sure you don't remember,
but I was bawling my brains out. I was just like, I made it. I mean, I'm not even playing Russell. Like, here I am.
I would think like for me, like if I could go to one event, I've always wanted to go to the Olympics. I've always I've either wanted to participate in Olympics, which I can't, or I've always wanted to be in it be there, like actually be in the moment, like watch the swimming, watch the track. Watch guys run, track and field. Watch just the Olympics and just be there. You know, I got to talk to Dwayne Wade last week and with Danger talking. He talked about just the moment between him and Kobe, him and Kobe, where they got to put the gold medal on and just the exchange of the gold medal. So So this has been amazing. So listen, I got to do this ad read real fast. I'm sure you're used to ad reads and everything else. So let me know how I do. 'Tis the season for giving. And to celebrate the most joyous time of the year, DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes throughout the week. This week is sure to be action-packed, so get in on all the action now to claim your free shot at millions of dollars in prizes when using code DANGERTALK during sign-up. Playing daily fantasy sports is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means more with DraftKings. For all you basketball fans, tip-off is right around the corner. So head to DraftKings now to check out all of the hoops action. With DraftKings, payday comes every day for players. So what are you waiting for? Head to the app now. Download the DraftKings app now and use code DANGERTALK during sign-up this week. DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code DANGERTALK, and you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Aaron, how was that?
You know what I loved about it? You had like a careless whisper to your voice.
Oh, okay.
I was just like, okay.
Okay, I'm doing my thing over here.
You didn't screw up. I'm like a four-take wonder over there. I do better live, but you just nailed that thing.
Well, listen, Jeff Dye, I'm not sure if you're back yet, but did you hear that? Jeff, I think Jeff's coming back over here on the channel soon, but... You know, I
heard it. I think she's being real over the top. It
she said I had a, what was that term? What was that term, Aaron? I had a what whisper?
A careless whisper.
I like that.
She's being real generous, isn't she?
I'm just saying, just, you know, the flowing. Well, listen.
Best games, best everything. Russell Wilson, it always comes back to you. I'm getting real fishy over here.
Well, listen, Aaron, so obviously we have 3 weeks to go. We got the season. Everything's right in the midst of everything. What do you think? Who's going to think someone's going to win the Super Bowl, first of all?
I don't know. I mean,
what do you mean you don't know?
First of all, it's BS to put me on the spot like this. I don't know.
BS? What do you mean?
Okay, you know the answer.
You know what, Aaron? You know, she wants to root for, she wants to say the Packers. So that's what she wants to say. That's what she wanted to say. Yep. I know.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, because I don't.
So you don't think they're going to win it. Okay, cool. Good to know.
What sucks is, Jeff, I'll speak to you on this. I've never done one of these where somebody asked me where somebody you covered. This is like a conflict of interest because I don't know how I feel. It probably would have something to do with him cooking. What are you cooking tonight, by the way, big boy? Anybody
who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? But listen, this is my turn to interview you.
I know. Okay, I don't like that.
So
it's like TMZ. I turn it right around when TMZ comes. I'm like, no, but what do you think of that?
So, okay, Aaron. Fun question here for you. So of all the cool athletes, cool people you've gotten to interview, like, you know, what's like, I asked you earlier about what your kind of favorite games and moments and all that, but what has been like the favorite, your best experience, like the most fulfilling experience? You know, like, it's one thing to get to go to the Super Bowl, but like, man, it's like, what was that one time, like I told you earlier, when I was up there with Terry Bradshaw and we were standing there and I was about to go to the Super Bowl and all that, I felt the stillness. Has there been one particular moment where you felt like, thank you for all the things I've gone through, all the good, bad, and different. Like, this is the moment. Like, this is the time. Like, this is that. And it could be something big. It could also be something really small, but has there ever been that moment that's ever hit you like that?
Yeah, you know, I'm like looking at the picture right now. It was, I forgot what season it was. It's probably on his jersey. 2013. I was raised a Red Sox fan and I was still covering baseball, the playoffs. Whose puppy is that?
That's just dog stuff.
I have a golden doodle who's a psycho and someone knocked on the door and now this will be on the podcast. Go ahead.
You have a golden doodle? Look at this sexy beast. Come here. Come up. He's tired.
Who calls a dog a sexy beast?
Oh, this thing should be on Ralph Lauren. Wait till you see him. He's just waking up right now.
Sorry about that.
2013, Red Sox postseason. I was raised a Red Sox fan, but who wasn't cheering for them that season? Obviously, it was after the Boston bombing. The Sox, you know, there he is. So sexy. Oh,
look at that.
But I had a picture with Poppy after he did the whole "This is our effing city." And I think every single night, you know, in Boston at Fenway, they had something with a tribute to first responders, victims, everything. I mean, you were crying right before first pitch every night, but they won the World Series. I had my mom and dad there. They're both from New England. And I just remember I got my parents out on the field. We walked over to the Green Monster. We all took a picture together. And then we walked back through like the concourse and Poppy walked out and just, you know, embraced my family. I was like, this is freaking amazing. Like, my parents are here. This just comes full circle. Hands reaching out. Neil Diamond singing. I mean, it was awesome. That was it.
What a special moment.
One of them.
What a special moment.
The other one was his time that Russell Wilson won this football
game. There it is.
That's what I was looking for. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Hey, it's reaching out.
It was okay. This night in Seattle where no.
Okay, well, Jeff Dye, obviously you've been hanging out and listening to the interview and everything else, but you got anything else for us? I think you got a 2-minute drill. I think you got some fun for us, Jeff.
I think it's time for the 2-minute drill. The conversation was great. You're a delight, Aaron Andrews. Russ, smooth as ever. This is how the 2-minute drill works, EA. I'm going to ask you as many rapid fire questions as I can in 2 minutes, and you need to be as quick as possible. We'll go to you first, and then Russ will have the same question right after you. Don't hesitate. Just give us your best answer. If you say something humiliating, you can trust we'll edit it out.
I love the edited part.
Yeah, no, that was a wink. I'm lying. All right, here we go.
Dude, you can't?
Producers. No, I mean, we will if you really botch it, but don't worry. We'll probably just edit out all the times my dog barked during a professional podcast. Thank you, Zoom.
Yeah, well, what's even greater is that background you got there. It looks like you're hanging it from a shower head there.
I know.
Yeah. Well, my dog keeps walking through it, too. It's like, guys, I'm doing my best here, all right?
Hey, we're all in this together.
Anyways. All right. So here's how it goes.
Rapid fire questions for you. You know what I mean? I've been reading People Magazine. What?
Oh,
I have no idea what you're referencing, and I don't appreciate it.
People Magazine.
But it's all true. Let's continue.
Danger talk.
2-minute drill. We'll put 2 minutes on the clock. Producers. All right. First question. Aaron, we're going to you first. Just a reminder. Camp Randall or the Swamp?
The Swamp.
Camp Randall, Russ? Get out of here with the swamp
stuff. That's you an easy one. It's a layup.
Celebrity
that made you starstruck that you met at any point in your life.
Tom Hanks.
Michael Jordan, probably.
Oh, wow. Well, Jesus. Yeah.
Mine's Sierra. All right. What's the most you've ever tipped?
I don't know.
Oh, come on. Quick.
He's Canadian. No, that doesn't make it.
Russ, what's the most you've ever tipped?
The most I've ever tipped, I think $7,000.
Yeah, boy. All right.
Not me.
Do you like Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You?
What was the question?
Do you like the song Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You?
Love, and we'll perform a whole kick routine to it.
Now we're talking, Russ.
Yeah.
Of course I do.
Okay. This is an easy one too. Great Dane or Golden Retriever?
Golden Retriever. Howie, David Ortiz, Stoll. Sometimes Andrews. Depends on what kind of mood I'm in.
Russ?
Oh, man. She's completely taken over the man cave, by the way. Great Danes. I got 3 Great Danes. Keep going, Jeff.
Yeah, and I like Golden Danes. All right. Last time you wrote a physical check?
Last week.
Wow. Old.
I wrote one. Last time I wrote one.
Yeah. 30 seconds. Come on.
Probably 2 years ago.
Most annoying interview or most annoying teammate you've ever had?
Most annoying interview.
Come on. Time's ticking.
Mine's easy. Jeff Dye.
How dare you? I'm not a teammate. All right. Favorite Christmas movie. 5 seconds. Go.
Christmas Story.
Home Alone. Without a doubt.
All right. That is the 2-minute drill.
Preacher's
Wife. Just as an extra little bonus, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
I don't know.
To you.
I haven't watched it.
You've never saw Die Hard?
Poor Aaron.
Unreal.
Or Willy Wonka. That's another one. Or Princess Bride. Everyone kills me about that, too.
You haven't seen Willy Wonka?
Mm-mm. Yeah, golly, you got to see Die Hard. It's really, really good. That's all.
Like, I got a question for you, Aaron.
Chad,
you
know, first of all, loved Die Hard.
You know, what kind of shows do you and Jarrett watch? Like, are you guys big Netflix people or what?
We watch Seinfeld. We love Curb. We love. I'm a Schitt's Creek gal. He doesn't really care too much. He'll go watch his own thing. Loved. What did we watch over quarantine? Yellowstone. Mm. Highly invested in that. Really hot. What else? Oh yeah, we'll watch, like, he's really into the whole bachelorette thing. He likes to see the girls fighting and stuff like that.
He's not going to be happy. You just said that. I don't think.
Oh no, he doesn't care. He loves.
Oh, he doesn't.
All
right, okay.
We'll FaceTime that beauty all the time. Are you kidding?
Yeah. I was going to say, if someone shared my favorite TV things on a podcast, I'd tell her to get off the podcast.
Well, my husband knows what he married. I mean, I'm verbal diarrhea all the time. He doesn't, I mean, I do talking to or a kick under the table. Hey, like, tell everybody our things. Sure, babe.
Russ loves the dating shows. Russ, you like those dating shows too.
I don't mind them sometimes, you know. I think sometimes it's good entertainment, you know.
What was the one during quarantine that came out? That was Shay.
That was an amazing show. That was hot.
Hot to handle?
Too hot to handle. It was the one before. They were in a different room and then they met.
What was that show?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
No.
Yeah. I do like that one.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And they don't love is blind. Love is blind. Look at that. Love is blind.
Right. With all the blind people that date each other. I remember that.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Sure.
There goes the golden doodle. Golden doodle. What do you call that dog again? Yeah.
His name's Bub. He's the greatest of all time, and he's he doesn't understand how podcasts work. He's very unprofessional.
Okay, well, speaking
of Bub.
Terry Bradshaw calls me Bub, so I named my dog Bub.
How are you friends with Terry Bradshaw?
I did a TV show with him, and he's like my father because we get along that good. I actually have his number tattooed on my back.
The one on E? You were on that one?
No, NBC.
Oh, okay. I watched it. It was great.
And nobody watched it.
So
right now.
Speaking of, you know, just all the amazing things, thinking about greatness and all that, you know, Aaron, one of the things that we do, and you have where I have a company called Good Man Brand. Sierra and I just launched the House of LRNC, which is really exciting. And as you've been,
is that your
butt,
perfume?
Well, we have RNC fragrance, but we just launched this whole which we'll have to send you actually.
Yes.
Sorry, Jeff. I don't know if you have a significant other there or not, Jeff.
But he never sends me anything. You know, it's very frustrating.
Fragrance, because I'm really into those. You guys remember CK1? I thought it was so hot.
Well, we'll have to send you the RNC fragrance, but
I only wear Febreze.
Well, I think one of the cool things about what you've been doing with Wear, and then also one of the things that I think that we've been able to do with Good Man Brand, it's been a blessing, is to always give this give back component and stuff like that. And so one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, Aaron, is the last thing I hear is, because obviously you've done so many amazing things, but as I think about everybody that's you've been around and all that, what we do with Good Man Brand, we do this hero campaign, and we talk about this everyday hero. We talk about just people who have done some really amazing things. Either you know them, you've seen something, or maybe you saw something on Instagram. It doesn't matter what it is, but is there somebody that has done something that's so inspiring to you? You know, it could be somebody close to you. Like I said, it could be somebody you've seen socially or whatever, but we want to send them something, and we want to send them a little care package just to let them know that they are heroes, that they are have done something really amazing. And every time somebody buys Good Man Brand, 3% goes back to Why Not You Foundation, which we donate all those proceeds to the Friends of the Children. And so what we want to do is give somebody something really cool. So a little care package from Good Man Brand. So who would you say is your everyday hero? Is anybody out there?
Gosh.
And like I said, it could be anybody.
You know, I don't know if you guys, I think this is pretty spectacular, especially with the world that we're living in right now. I don't know if you guys are dialed into what Jay Glazer is doing right now with veterans who back and teaming them up with athletes. Do you know about that, Russ?
No, yeah. Tell me about this.
He has a gym out here in California and it's called Unbreakable. And actually my husband and some of his teammates went to it. He brings a lot of vets who have come back from serving our country and that need a support group. And as we all know, Jeff, I mean, I can see you're a big workout guy. No, I'm kidding. Working out helps us so much mentally. But they also have so many stories to share, and it's to help them, you know, come back, kind of obviously get back to their ways, but they have so much that they're dealing with. So they work out together. And then Jay tries to bring, you know, Jay Bird, he loves like all these athletes and he is really connected in sports. He brings in the athletes so athletes can tell their story. And then these veterans tell the athletes their story, kind of gives perspective on life. You know, sometimes athletes need to hear that. Some, you know, that obviously take things for granted. And it's just now during COVID, they haven't been able to work out together. So he's doing these Zoom meetings. Michael Strahan's really involved as well. Tony Gonzalez too, where they are doing these workouts online and then everybody is able to still speak. I know Coach McCarthy's involved and Dan Quinn is involved as well. Cool. And they voice what they're going through. And right now, a lot of them are alone because they are by themselves. They're not able to go to gyms. And Jay has presented this whole like forum for them to speak, do a group workout. And he just does so much with our veterans to give back. And I'm so grateful for that. And, guys like Alden Smith coming back into the league and helping him. That's actually where Alden worked out.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I heard about that place.
Come back to the Cowboys. Yeah. So I just feel like his whole program he's doing right now with Unbreakable is so helpful. And especially with our vets that have returned and are unable to have really like close communication with people, but they're able to do it virtually.
That's amazing. So Jay Glazer, Aaron Andrews has now shouted you out. So we're going to send you a nice little care package, Jay.
Yeah.
I know you've been doing so much around the country and especially in California, but as Aaron mentioned, you're bringing athletes, but also veterans together. Such a special, special thing. So you are everyday hero.
Was she suggesting that I don't work out? Is that what?
No, I know Russell and Sierra love some Alley Love, and that's where I do my mental work on the bike. And, I know that's where I escape. And Jeff, I can tell that that's probably what you do to,
Yeah, I'm 6'4". All right. I'm a giant.
6'4", 150. But yeah, we'll definitely have to send Jay something really special. Just thank you for that, Aaron. And Jay, you're our everyday hero on Danger Talk. Jay Glazer, we're coming to you and sending you something cool. And just Aaron, I've been getting to know you for 13, 14 years maybe now. We've been around each other
way
a bunch.
Age me, Russ. Way to age me.
I'm growing with you. We're getting younger. But I think what's been so amazing is just the inspiration that you bring to so many people, not just women, not just girls, but just people in general and just who you are as a person, how you carry yourself. You always seem to be an overcomer and I'm just grateful for who you are. You always do everything with style and grace. You're an amazing entrepreneur, businesswoman, created Wear. Everybody, make sure you go check it out on Fanatics.
Our Seahawks gear is very cute.
Yes, I'm sure it is, the blue and green. And listen, I think that obviously to see you taking over the man cave, it means you must be running the show over there. So listen, Jared, I know you like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette and all that, but Aaron's running the show over here. So, but listen, I got a lot of respect for you. You are a true delight to work with every time I get to work with you. You're a blessing to this world. And we're grateful to have you on Danger Talk. And I guess I'll see you soon. I guess
I'll see you on the 27th. Let's what go. A fact that's
we
gonna
need
be.
It. We need it. We need it. But anyways,
that's a biggie, huh? That
should
one?
Be a game. It should be a good game. So anyways, I'm just grateful for you and thank you for joining Danger Talk. And it's a blessing to have you. We've had some amazing guests, Aaron. So we've gone from some really, really special. We've had Shaq. We've had John David Washington. Jeff Dye always likes quizzing me here. We've had Randy. We've had Randy Moss. We've had CP3. We've had after CP3 was, who was after CP3? CP3 was Candace. Candace, Candace Parker. We had we had the one and only Ken Griffey Jr., swingman over there. We had Matthew McConaughey with his new Green Lights book. We had, after Matthew McConaughey, I think it was Joe Montana, which is one of my favorite athletes of all time. I have this picture that always inspires me of Joe. Always tell people, you sometimes see it in Levi's Stadium. I'm not sure if you've ever seen it, Aaron, where he's sitting back on the wall and he's kind of got his legs spread out. Just kind of taking everything in. We've had Mike Tyson right before the big fight. We had Mark Cuban talking about business and life and, just entrepreneurship. We've had, obviously, Sierra, to have her on the show was amazing.
That was a tough get.
It was tough.
If her husband allowed it.
Yeah, and then we also had, we had Dwayne Wade, Flash, making so many plays and so many things that he's done. And now, in week 13 of Danger Talk, we've had Aaron Andrews. So we're really grateful for you, who you are.
Chickens were slim out there, huh, guys? No, I'm kidding.
It's a blessing to have
you're
you.
You're a darn good guest.
Yeah. you're amazing. So thank you for everything you're doing and just praying for you. Keep going. Thanks, keep inspiring. Guys. And thank you for joining Danger Talk, Aaron Andrews.
Love it. See you in Seattle next week.
Okay. We'll see you soon. I'll see you later. So Jeff, that was super cool. Obviously, Aaron, I've known Aaron for 14, 15 years now. And just to be able to do this interview with her and get all the knowledge from her, just her experiences, the greatest moments and stuff like that was super cool. as I said, we've had some amazing guests, and for her to be in week 13 of Danger Talk is such a blessing to interview her. So much knowledge, so much understanding of how she's got there. And it's cool always listening to somebody's story arc of how they've gotten to where they are, and just how she's such an influence in women, you know, as a woman in sports. And it's been really cool. So along the journey.
I also like usually when we talk to athletes or you talk to people who are in the game, like you or stuff like that, like you guys talk about sports so knowledgeably and all that stuff. But when we talk to her, you could tell how much she enjoys it. Like she makes it seem a lot, no offense to athletes, but she makes it seem so fun and so excited. She's very, not as serious and dialed in. It's more like she knows it all, but she also really loves it. And you could really tell every time she talked about anything she was sharing.
I think the best thing about Erin, she always brings great passion and great knowledge to what she does. And it's pretty cool to see all the things she's doing with Wear and just the businesswoman she is too as well. So what a gift. What a great interview. And I hope everybody on Danger Talk loved it. And I know I did for sure. And So Jeff Dye, we have next week coming up, and
I'm excited.
We have a good one next week, so we're excited about next week. And
whoever it is, you know, if whatever for whatever reason, Erin Andrews will come on and do another hour, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, I think Erin is really really awesome. Just that you could come join us and stuff. So it's cool that she's gonna have her, you know, she's building her brand out more and more and more too, to see that. So next week's gonna be great too as well. We're excited about Danger Talk and the growth of Danger Talk and all the things that we have going on. And Jeff, what you been up to lately, man?
Living life, traveling, having a good time.
Having a good time. Well, I hope everybody's having a good time. Stay COVID-free, wear a mask, Jeff Dye. Yeah, wear a mask. And keep having fun, man.
Every day.
All right, Danger Talk, we're out. Appreciate you guys.
We out.
Peace.